Bet Thursdays, and the kids are back. It has been a little bit of a second between David and I, but we are ready to rip 30-minute Thursdays after a very hot, funny, maybe the most, I don't know, maybe the most problematic episode ever in Trading Secrets history. Never been in a position where I truly couldn't get my words, just laugh straight from the belly. But what else would you expect with John B? But other than John B, David, it's just good to see your face. It is good to be back. How are you, brother?
I'm great. It's great to see your face. And listen to John, this, you know, 30-minute Thursdays, we're coming in hot. Missed you for 2 weeks. Another shout out to our impromptu guest, Blake Horseman, Catherine Hurley. Absolutely crushed it. It's great to have my co-host back. Great to have you back. Great to catch up. Hopefully our catch up can and spill over to the people and helping them catch up with you and what's been going on. But you're a busy man as always. Work taking you left, right, and center? Is that fair to say?
I would say work this time took me far from left, right, and center, but it took me somewhere, that's for sure.
Okay, well, we're going to get into that a little bit later. But listen, the John episode, man, I got to say, was the laughing gas in the room with us? Was it out of the room? Was it what? That was electric. Like, I'm not going to lie, I'm a pretty good friend of yours, and we've had our fair share of belly laughs. I was a little jealous I wasn't in the room chopping it up with you guys there. I was just trying to laugh, like belly laugh, just to fit in listening to the episode. I loved it.
That's great. I mean, literally from the day I met that guy, it's been like brotherly banter. It's always something. We're always going at each other's throats. Funny comments, below the belt comments, something that like shouldn't be recorded, something that should be. But like, I would say, David, that's just like the dynamic of a relationship. I even said it in the post, I think, because people are cracking up and you had made some comment that people were loving. And I'm like, I need to get us three in the same room.
Yes.
Because it's just, he's, you know, funnier people make you funnier, and he's that kind of guy. Like, he's just funny as all hell. And the thing is like, I was even telling my mom, because she's like, oh my god, you two together, hilarious. I'm like, if you think he's funny, which he is, in person Alex is like three times funnier. Like, Alex might be one of the funniest humans I've ever met, and it just triggers. It's just like boom, 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 24/7.
Would you say that John is probably one of your closest friends that I've never met?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I would say since I met John, which was back in 2024, we talk every week. We talk every week. And I would say we probably talk every third day, like every 2-3 days we talk. I can't think of like a week that we've gone without a phone call, text, or something like that. So, yeah, I would say so.
And I know you made a reference to it right at the end of the episode, but it was kind of a joke, but kind of serious, like, glad I won you in the divorce type thing from your old relationship. Hilarious. But also, like, was there ever a fear or a worry that during, obviously, that breakup, that you were worried about losing someone like that, who you clearly had grown a personal friendship with outside of the couple, outside of the couples, outside of the double dates, the trips, the events, the things that you guys did together?
That was clearly just like a facetious, we're having fun in the moment.
Oh, yeah. Shocker, really? Right. Like, did you listen to the episode? Yeah. You guys were having fun.
Exactly. And that was with no intention to be shot to anybody. I just think, like, I mean, I even remember in the testament to, you know, my ex and stuff at the time, I was like, you know, John's a good friend now. You're cool with that, right? And she like laughed. She's like, yes, of course. So life is life, right? You meet people in different ways. Sometimes it's through friends, sometimes it's through family, sometimes it's through an ex. And when you're an adult, you have the choice to continue to have those friendships. And I'm very fortunate that I got to meet both of them. And I'm very happy that John and I have continued to be friends, and he'll always be a good friend. You heard him, you saw him. Obviously, we chopped it up. We had fun. We exchanged some chirps, but he's just a really, really good guy. Like, he's got a huge heart. He's a good guy, awesome family. He's an amazing husband, an amazing father. I love to make fun of him, but I can't say enough good things about him, and just feel honestly from a mature standpoint that I'm blessed to have a friend like that in my life.
100%. And you could, the thing that I loved most about the episode, obviously, other than your guys' banter and jokes and hilarity, was I loved the way that he spoke about his partner, about his wife. His trading secret was have a partner that's better than you, and, you know, lean on your partner, communicate with your partner. You know, they are in a family business together. Like, their work is hand in hand. Like, they're able to obviously keep excelling and succeeding and have a great yin and yang. Just recently saw Barstool Big Cat talk about this, about having, like, you know, when you're lockstep with your wife, like, it's the greatest superpower. Like, it's your support system, it's your motivator, it's all these things. You've talked a lot about it with Catherine. I've talked a lot about it with Ashley for every time I get to talk about her, it's kind of cool to see some of the men step up and talk about the women in their life, about how they make them so much better and how important it is to be able to have someone like that, that supports you and can be ride or die with you, and recognize that, because I think that's, you know, I don't even want to say it's a lost art. I think it's more of something that's becoming, you know, hopefully more comfortable for guys to speak out about how, you know, as macho as we are and how much you take pride in, you know, competition and whether it be, you know, sports, whether it be career, whether it be life, like that we also can realize that the best parts of us are the people that we choose to spend the rest of our lives with, which is life's greatest decision is who you marry. So I just wanted to shout that out and say that I've been noticing that more amongst people in all facets of life. And I think it's beautiful.
Well, I think everything you just said is beautiful. And I think there's two parts to it. I want to acknowledge the hard part. One, there are going to be people that are listening to this that are not in healthy relationships, mm-hmm. that aren't happy. And I want to acknowledge those people to let you know that's a lot of America. That's a lot of the world. That's okay. What I would say is I've been there, and I would say do whatever it takes to put the work in to find a place of happiness and healthiness, and or put in the work to say, hey, maybe it's best for us, or maybe it's best for our kids, or maybe it's best for life or whoever, that we move in different directions, because it's okay to be in an unhappy relationship. In my opinion, what I've learned over the years, it's not okay to stay consistent and stagnant and do nothing about it. Now, the flip side to that are the people that are going to listen to this that like are in those healthy relationships. And I can say exactly to what you just said. It's so transparent. Like when you are in a healthy and fun and loving relationship that has just mutual respect with like a total 360, you know, approach to all the areas of your life that you're moving as one, you can tell. You can tell when you go out to dinner with those couples. You could tell like how those people decide the friends they're going to keep, how they're going to pursue their career endeavors and life endeavors, and how they move as one. And then that energy becomes contagious. And those are the couples that when you have a busy couple weeks and you have a Friday night, you're like, oh my God, I want to go spend time with them. Like, I can't wait. Those people fill me up. They give me energy. And I know we're recapping Alex and John, and Catherine and I got the chance to hang out with them. And they were like, come over from drinks. And then we had drinks, we had dinner. They're like, stay over the night, stayed over at the best time. Those are the people that like when exactly what you said about John, when those two individuals are working in lockstep and then two new people get to come into life as friends, you leave feeling like so great about the time you had together. And you're just like, I want that. I want friends like that because it makes me feel more creative. It makes me feel smarter. It makes me feel balanced. And it's fun. And like exactly to your point, that's life. And that, you know, that was like when Catherine and I got to hang out with you and Ash in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Like same thing. We're chopping it up all night, having drinks, talking about God knows what. And I do believe like in all areas of life, which we talk about on this podcast, financially, professionally, and personally, it does start with that strength of that foundation. And for those that are there, congratulations, you're there. And for those that aren't, like, it's okay. Like, it's how, you know, I'm 37 and most of my life, I haven't been there. It's okay. It's just not okay to do nothing about it.
And it's part of the process, and it'll make it all worth it. And it'll make sense at the end too. It'll make you be able to value and appreciate that partner so much more. You talk about it personally, financially. I mean, the fact that they are continuing to grow. I loved his perspective about his $5,000 deal with Shark, where he was like, this is it. Like that is still like one of the most memorable, even though he even said they do deals. 100K sounds like the floor of the deals that they're doing. He sounds almost like he said they're numb to the numbers at some point. Now they're just kind of in the rhythm of doing it. It's their lives. It is their full lives. Like they have to post on vacation. They have to post in all different facets of their life. I do think that the content that they post though, like I think relatable content is obviously the most important. I think relatable baby content is all time. Like, I think if you get a relatable baby content that people like me and Ash are in the fucking like grind of it all, like we're in the trenches, and you see a comedic relief of what you're going through and someone else get it and portray it in that way, it's automatic like comment share. Automatic. It's the couple that's in bed sending those to each other in bed when you're just fucking exhausted. And it's this the most relatable thing that I think would relate to me right now. There couldn't be a sports video, a gambling video, a comedy video, a food review of anything of that nature that is more relatable than seeing some kind of comedic relief to like the shit show hurricane that all of us people are going through with young kids.
there's perfectly said. There's also such a creative element to it that everyone goes through these moments, but then how do you story tell? And then how do you bring it to life the way they do? And they're the best in the business at it, but they're just so quick and good. Like her, like Alex's brain just goes 24/7 to ideas. When we stayed over, I don't think this is oversharing. And if Alex and John, it is, I'm sorry. But when we stayed over, of course we got up and we left. But you know, Catherine and I, we had a couple drinks, right? We had a good time. Catherine and I slept in till, let's say, like, it was like 9 o'clock or something, yeah, you know, and they, when we came out like fully refreshed, we slept until nine. They had this like, they're like baby stuff. They'd been up at five. They didn't sleep that night. Their eye bags under their eyes are like, guys, I want to thank you for giving us our next skit. Cause it's relatable, right? Like,
oh yeah.
The fresh guests with no baby will sleep for 8 hours, feeling great. They're waking up like they've already gone through World War One, but they're just so good at it. And it's, they got a great team. Their managers are always working 24/7 for them. Cam and Niels bringing them big, big opportunities. And they're just all around. You talked about the business, a great, great business and a great relationship.
Well, he said it like the key to being successful in there and what they do is A, being consistent, but also making content for others. Like when they make that video at your expense per se, it's he's making it for other people, because I can picture him and her doing that, and you guys walking out of the room and like they're on their second change of clothes already, and there's like, you know, the perfect living room that they cleaned up is a disaster and a hurricane and it's like right there in front of your face. Like I see it, it resonates me, and it makes me feel good. Like it makes me feel not alone. It makes me feel seen, that we can right? laugh at you it like seen. And
yeah,
it's so good. Now they talked a little bit about the Coogan Law, which I thought that was really interesting to touch on a little bit, specific to, you know, people moving from LA, which seems kind of crazy. They've chosen obviously to not include their kids in a lot of their contact, not because of the Coogan Law, because of all the, you know, other risks that are involved with it. Is that something that you've thought about your future and obviously this world? Is that something that you want to include them on? It's very relatable in certain ways. Have you put any thought of that at all? Are you trying to just, we're not trying to put the cart before the horse there?
You know, honestly, to me, I look up to them as content creators and what they do because of their creativity. And when I saw that he was playing Lucy Gray, his daughter, I was just like, it is just, everything they do is genius. Like that is just such a genius play to protect your daughter while also making it even funnier because John's playing the role. And so what funny. I do, a little trading secret about when I have guests on, I hope most people that listen to this show recognize how much prep I try to do to the guests. Like when I interview people, it's not about me. It's not about my storytelling. It's not about me repeating the same stories over, about trying to connect with them. It's about me listening. And then based on listening, adjusting the conversation and customizing it to them. I will always listen to a guest on other episodes like 2-3 times to like see things that are important to them. I listened to several episodes they were on, one being Girl With No Job. And this came up. And they talked about, and it was very, I was like, John jumped in for the first time in that episode so passionate about something. So that's when I started researching Coogan Law and how it goes. And I wanted his take on it, which obviously we heard his take. If you didn't hear it, make sure you go listen to that episode. But for me, I'll be real with you. I haven't, of course, a lot of my content is in real time. Like he scripts his content, like right. Actors, right? They write it, they script it, they act, and they do the skit. A lot of my stuff is real time. A lot of my stuff is, hey, I've been gone for a couple of weeks. I'm seeing my girlfriend right now, or my dog's not doing well at the doctor's, or I just lost someone close to me. It's real time. A lot of talking to camera, storytelling. So for me, I haven't thought that far. Of course, when I go to the next stages of my life, that'll be part of my content. It just has always been like my social media is an online diary with some education of finance and professional stuff. But I haven't thought that far, other than after speaking to him. To me, it's like, no, I don't want to have my kid's face in the content. Like, I do like how they sometimes show Lucy and they only show the back of Lucy's head. I like the protection aspect of it. And I think it's the best move for the kids. And I think everything that has to be customized, because my answer for my family and my life doesn't have to be the same answer as many people that we represent and many other people on social media that choose to share all those things. So I think it's an in-game time decision that you got to do what's best for you and your family.
Wasn't trying to put the cart before the horse, the egg before the chicken, all that stuff. We got a few steps before that becomes something. We don't even know what social media is going to look like in TBD timeline of of Jason Tardik's life, but we'll see when we get there. And
speaking of social media, I think that's maybe, you know, I'll see what else you got on the John front. But before I do, currently this moment, you can actually see the sun in my face. I'm in Miami. I'm speaking at the Bloomberg House at F1 this weekend. They got some big players here. They got the CMO of GM. They have the chief strategist of FIFA World Cup planning. They have Mario Carbone, of course, who is the, you know, founder of Carbone and everything else. I mean, there's some people at this Bloomberg conference that are big. I'm speaking in a panel with Kyle Cook about cultural impact of making influence your business, right? And so, of course, since 2018, I've been in this game. I own an agency. One of the people that we work with is Kyle Cook. Kyle Cook, of course, has made cultural impact and influence with 14 plus reality shows. And he owns his own business, which is connected to a lot of cultural impact happening in Summer House right now. And so we're speaking on that panel tomorrow, which kind of connects to this conversation. And I guess I'll tease a little bit. Kyle will be coming on Trading Secrets. So I'll be interviewing him tomorrow morning, and then we go on the panel tomorrow afternoon. But anyway, I just think that's real-time updates. That's what 30 Minute Thursday is all about. David, before we transition out of John, any other big topics or speaking points based on that episode you want to make sure we hit on?
Well, nice little teaser there. I'm sure it'll be a sold-out crowd in the audience tomorrow for you and Kyle. One thing I'm just going to touch on is something that hit home for me a little bit. You mentioned the four, I don't know, I can't recall exactly what you said, but it was the four somethings.
And burner said, theory, the four burner theory.
Yeah, friends, family, work, and health.
Family, friends, work, and health, yes.
Yeah, that hit me hard because you asked them to say which one are you putting on the back burner?
Well, essentially, the theory with that is you cannot have all four of those on high. And as one goes high, one has to go low. Like you have the same amount. Mm-hmm. We all have the same amount of flame we could actually put on each of those. And it's like, what stage and what chapter are you in your life? And do you recognize it? And are you okay with it?
Yeah.
And so like for me, I would say like I would say lately, honestly, in 2026, my health burner's been kind of low. My work burner's been full high. And then my family burner's been high, and then my friend's burner's been a little lower. But like now I'm trying to dial in my health again. I want to like really, really focus on getting fit and working out and eating right. And we'll see how all some of those other things shift. What would you say of your burners? Like what's on high, what's on low?
Oh, work set the house on fire. And so all three of them are low. And it's bad though. Like you said that, and it's like I was trying to do it, and I was like, oh, well, work's high, but you know, health is low. And then I was like, well, fuck, like friends is actually kind of low. And I was like, God, family's kind of low too. And I'm like, I was listening to this driving back home from work to do this. And I was like, God damn it. You need to figure it the fuck out. And sometimes it's little things like this that'll make you snap into it a little bit, but
we're all trying to figure it out. I have found too, and I say it a lot on this podcast, but addition by subtraction, man, I remember like, and my, you know, my 30th birthday party, I probably had 500 people there, you know, like my 25th birthday party, I probably had like 800 people. And I would base my value off of how many people were there. Where like these days, you know, that birthday party, there'd be a lot less people there. But those friendships become so much more meaningful because you decide how much and how you want to spend your time. So I've found like friendships to me are so critical to my life, but it's like I have a lot fewer really good friends than a lot of okay friends, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think for me, I just used to take a lot more pride in like checking in on people or FaceTiming the family on a cadence basis, or even like Ashley, like doing sweet, thoughtful things for Mother's Day, which is coming up for all the fathers out there. Don't forget Mother's Day. Let's spoil them. Give me some good ideas in the DMs for Mother's Day gifts. Ashley deserves it. So I just wanted to touch on that. I thought it was a nice theory. It hit home. And I wanted to touch on that right there. But, you know, we only got 10 minutes left in this 30 Minute Thursday. I can't leave without saying, how was the work trip, Jay? How was the work trip?
Sunday, May 10th, just so everyone knows, Mother's Day. Don't forget it. Okay. The work trip. I don't know how much I can say and what I can't say. It was gone. I was gone for a while. I lost some weight.
Stressful work trip.
I was tested. I was tested in ways I've never been tested in my life.
Okay.
I'm very appreciative for the work trip.
Okay.
When I get clearance to speak more about the work trip, I will speak more about it, especially on this podcast when I'm allowed to. But I will say it was a once in a lifetime opportunity, one that I'm so happy I got to live, and maybe one I wouldn't want to possibly relive. But it was really, really, looking back on it, a good, good work trip.
And now that you're back at home from the work trip, I don't know how Wi-Fi service was. I don't know how the news outlets, coming through. Anything that you may have missed now that you're back at home that you want to talk about? 30 Minute Thursdays, close it out for the last 10 minutes.
On this work trip, I was definitely in the dark, but now I'm in the light. I'm catching up on all the things that I missed. One of the beautiful things about the Sabres being in the playoffs, up 3-2 against the Bruins, hopefully getting our first playoff win since 2007. I will share this on social media, but I do have to show you. David, this is what I looked like the last time the Buffalo Sabres won a playoff game. That's unbelievable. I'm pumped for that. And then, of course, obviously, the war and the impact of the economy today. The Federal Reserve decided that they will not be doing anything with interest rates. There was a little split decision. Some people were like, you should reduce interest rates. And some people were like, you can't do that. One of the main reasons they didn't do that is because unemployment has stayed leveled. And again, I've talked about it on this podcast, but if inflation goes up, the way you can combat and fight inflation is actually increasing interest rates. Mm-hmm. So if we decrease, that would not work well, given the fact that we are seeing a spike in inflation because of the war. So that's going on. Markets have, they took a dip back, but they, while I was gone, they gained back some momentum. So we're in this state of just like caution of like what comes next. We don't know. We just hope it's not bad and we hope it's okay. That's more of world economy and United States economy. But yeah, man, does that answer your question?
It does. Unfortunately, there's another shooting of sorts at a White House gathering. So that happened, which is crazy. The NCAA is making some crazy changes in the world of college athletics, which is impacting me and my business and my stress levels big time. So that's going on.
Give me a 2-second breakdown. What's happening there?
2-second breakdown is they're changing the eligibility rules from instead of 4 years and red shirt and waivers to get extra years, they're removing those and giving everybody a 5-year eligibility window. The only difference is that eligibility window, your clock starts as soon as you graduate or you turn 19, whatever comes first. This is to get away from the 27-year-old who's playing his 8th year of college football or college basketball, who's got two kids and he's making $10 million. What it hurts is the hockey world, which is, junior hockey is a big part of what we do. Kids play junior hockey until they're 20 years old and they go to college at 21. If you have clock starts when you graduate high school and you go play 3 years of junior hockey, all of a sudden you only have 2 years of college eligibility left. So there's a lot of kids that are already playing junior hockey that thought they were doing things by the right rules, and they may be told that they only have 2 or 3 years left of eligibility, even though they're doing the right thing the whole time. They might make a hockey-specific example, but anyways, that's just going on in the news. There's a lot of change, and there needs to be some change.
That's huge. I don't want to dwell on this. The reason it's so big for hockey is because in junior hockey, you're not making money. But now in NCAA hockey with branding, you can make a shit ton of money. So if you have to go play college hockey 2 years earlier, that's going to impact when people play junior hockey.
And
that's
if they play junior hockey.
If they play junior hockey, or they're going to go play junior hockey like Patrick Kane did when you're like 15, and then it ruins your entire program.
Correct.
Because you have like shit talent playing at the midget level. So it's crazy how that impacts your industry. And it seems like almost every industry, anyone that's listening to this, there's regulation, there's change. Like it just feels with AI, with just all the things, change right now is so fast. And every time and everywhere I turn talking to someone about their space in their industry, it just feels like change is the only constant, truly.
It feels like technology, the internet, the pace of which we're AI, the pace of which we're able to accomplish things, it feels like we're almost not accomplishing anything. It seems like it's definitely getting to quantity over quality. We're not able to slow down. We're always trying to keep up with the changes, the times, the needs, the demands, the complaints, the feedback, the dollar, the economy, everything, where it feels like we're all moving 1,000,000 miles an hour and we're getting nothing done. Could you imagine that there used to be a life without an email? How did it work? You actually got mail that you had to open and like put a thoughtful response to and like seal it up and mail it back, or like, schedule meetings or like take phone call. Like Now it's
email,
like,
dude, email seems ancient to me now. Like, even like there used to be a world without email, but like now even email seems ancient. Or imagine someone saying today, like there used to be a world without Google. I don't even Google any things anymore, right? With AI, it's like there is no need for Google. It's like that's how fast things are changing. That, like, you know, there's things like Slack and there's other communication mm-hmm. tools where it's like email on steroids. Like it's wild what's happening at the speed that it's happening now. And it's definitely making me feel old as dirt.
Oh God, my neck. I got this crazy neck back injury. I've gotten hemp creaming and rolling on lacrosse balls. And like, I can't even have special like pillows. I'm such a joke. Speaking of my health being in a dumpster fire, I can't even freaking turn left and drive my car. But some things, you know, some things change when we're adapting to, some things don't change. First 30 minute Thursday with you in 3 weeks. And we still got Summer House drama that's being talked about. We got the reunion that's got three leaks in it. People that's still trending number one topic, can't take their eyes off. It's like they say three things in life you never can take your eyes off of: a fire, a house on fire, a car crash when you drive by it, or a Zamboni when it cuts the ice. Those are the three things that people will just stare at no matter what inherently. But right now it's Summer House. Every time it comes on TikTok, IG, anything, people are consuming it. It's festival season, people are consuming that. It's just that's the time right now. That's the era that we live in.
It is really, it just feels like since we started 30 Minute Thursday, oh. And I don't know if it's like algorithm or what, but it feels like this drama that like we know people and we're connected to and we work with them or we see them or we're friends with them. It's crazy. Like there was this, you know, this drama. First of all, Stagecoach. I don't know, real quick. I know we're running low on time. Give me Stagecoach. We had a Stagecoach house. I'm thankful mm-hmm. for the Rewired house. It was very successful. I'm thankful for the sponsors and the talent that went, and it was a big win for Rewired. This was one of those years, like when I was looking at Stagecoach from far, I don't know if it's maturity. I don't know if it's I'm too old now, but I certainly wasn't envy. I didn't have FOMO, and I'm a big guy that gets FOMO. I didn't have any FOMO.
Well, I think it's like when Post Malone is the last, you know, one of the biggest acts, which Post for years, I remember when you went to the Super Bowl, you saw Post. He was like, he was incredible. It was amazing. When Post is your big headliner, and it's just when the other one's Bieber, it's just like, it feels like the junior circuit a little bit. Like it just feels like all the people who didn't get to go to Coachella might have just been like, you know, we're at Stagecoach by default because the Biebercella just blew it up to a certain extent. I consumed enough content to know that it still looked like an amazing time. Saw the Rewired house, saw all the talent there, saw people having a great time. I know you've been to, have you been to both or just Stagecoach?
Actually never been to Coachella. Yeah. Stagecoach. I gotta be real with you. The best part about those things to me are like at the house.
The people.
When you're all hanging out with the people. 100%. The actual festival, I can't stand.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. It's just an open field. There's stuff blowing in your face. You can't really hear the music. Even if you have the artist pass, which we get fortunate to get, it's not like you're very close. You're still very, it's not the way that I want to consume music.
Well, they had the evacuation from the windstorms. And again, just to add to the drama of the reality TV world, I think the biggest news that came out of Stagecoach was the unfortunate interaction between Stephen McBee and his girlfriend at the time. You never want to air that stuff out on social media. You never want to speak to women like that ever. I know he's issued apologies, but listen, 30 Minute Thursday is the first episode kicked off with Taylor Frankie Paul being, you know, her season getting canceled for, domestic violence, abuse type things. Then we kicked right into the Summer House drama. Now it's like, this guy's a TV show coming out on Bravo. How do they handle it? I don't know, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say it, talk about it. It's happening in the news. Like I said, I think it's the biggest buzz thing that's happening from all Stagecoach that I consumed.
People just don't think. It's unbelievable the way that people react and don't respond. You know, it's so interesting that like some of the people out there that like think they're the toughest or strongest or whatever it is, like most alpha, like your alpha based on strength is not how big your biceps are, right? Strength is how grounded are you? How connected are you to yourself? How can you realize that emotion can overtake your body, but it's for you to self-regulate? And we've had Stephen McBee on this podcast years ago. Mm-hmm. Allie Eklund, who's also involved in this. I just shot with Supermodels Unlimited, which I guess kind of cool. I'm be on a cover, David.
No big deal.
But she was there when we were shooting. And, you know, I talked to her for a while. This was a couple months ago. She's sweet. It's seemed from afar that like they had a good relationship. We don't know the details. Mm-hmm. We don't know what wasn't shown. What we do know that was shown is
you just
dude, to my worst enemy, bro, to my worst enemy, I wouldn't use that language. No. To like someone I literally that is like ruined my life, I wouldn't use that language and talk yeah. to someone. And
yeah.
that's what we do know. And that to me is like just wildly inappropriate. And I am glad that he stepped up to take accountability and apologize for that, because that is just so fucked up.
It's the first step. You wish that it never existed, period, in the world, that anyone would have to go through that. So, you know, it's our duty on this. It's being talked about. It's trending. We talked about Stagecoach last week. We said we were going to reference it this week. At the end of the day, be a John. Talk about your partner, how they're better than you. Acknowledge that. It's beautiful. It was great to have you back on 30 Minute Thursdays. Did you happen to listen to the last two episodes? Do you have any feedback? How did we do?
And if you're not a John, the one caption I did like from his last post, Stephen McBee, was time to get to work. Yeah. Acknowledge it's time to get to work and go do that work for the betterment of yourself, everyone around you.
100%. I think
that's a good way to end that. But yes, David, you guys did great. Shout out to Blake Horseman, Catherine Hurley for holding it down. Shout out to David for making it happen while I was gone on a little work trip. 30 Minute Thursdays are rolling, and we got some big news coming up here on Trading Secrets. A lot of things happening in May behind the scenes from a business perspective. So more to come on that. David, anything before we wrap?
Let's get those burners up. Friends, family, health, let's go. Work, you're always going to be there whether we like it or not. Let's turn those burners up. Thanks for listening to another episode of 30 Minute Thursdays. Jay, take us home.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of Trading Secrets 30 Minute Thursdays. We're still working on this intro and outro. We will see you on Monday with an episode. Trust me, you can't afford to miss. Bringing that money.